Since I started writing, I've concentrated on my past experiences as a child, as a car owner, and as a restorer of a house in a foreign land. I've so far ignored one of the most common experiences for all in a foreign land, going to work. Unless you're fortunate enough to be an internet or social media billionaire and create your work environment to suit you, most of us are forced to inhabit an environment at work not of our own making, and usually not as we would ideally like it to be. Work gives you the opportunity to interact with other humans outside your immediate circle of family or chosen friends. Sometimes this means being thrown together with people that you would normally, given a free choice, run away screaming from. But it also may provide the opportunity to meet and interact with new, pleasant people that you wouldn't normally meet. And this can often be an enriching experience. I hope to provide some insights that I've gained through my years at work to help others through the experience. Some of the advice would be contradictory. The world is full of contradictions, so don't blame me. I'm also now of an age when looking back and reliving the past through writing is an enjoyable experience. And according to medical experts, is also helpful for the health of those of us of advanced age. Most of my working life took place in the latter half of the 20th century, but the experiences are universal and mostly based around human interactions. When I first retired, there were a number of occasions when groups of ex-colleagues would meet up over a lunch or supper, and this was always an enlightening experience. It was like two separate tribes meeting on common ground for the first time, with neither of them able to see the other's perspectives. Those people still at work would broadcast in great detail the corporate ins and outs of latest company goings-ons, who was doing what, who was promoted, what the latest shiny corporate initiatives and edicts were, with varying degrees of enthusiasm or cynicism. The retired people would feign interest with varying degrees of success depending on their acting skills, whilst at the same time answering questions that now seemed irrelevant to them, such as, "But what do you find to do all day?" Once the Rubicon of escape from the organisation had been crossed, it was as if a veil had been lifted. How did all this company rubbish seem so important? The sad truth is that when you're inside any organisation, you have to take it seriously, or you'd go mad. It's like looking behind the curtain in The Wizard of Oz. The fallacy of the Great Oz can't be exposed. So, how to survive and remain sane? First of all, I'm not entirely confident that I am the right person to advise on work. The reason for this could be explained in the answer I would give to people early on in my retirement. They would ask, "So how are you finding retirement? Do you miss work?" And I would answer, "Well, I seem to have adapted quite well, as the years of work seem to have been an unnatural state between being a student and being retired, both of which seem to suit me rather better." Of course, the compensation with work is that you receive financial reward, which along with the opportunities for cheap entertainment seem to be the two most significant reasons for persevering with it. There is one overriding lesson that I've learned, and that is it is absolutely essential to be yourself at work, and that to do anything else is a recipe for all sorts of stresses and unnecessary strains that people put on themselves. I always find it upsetting and rather sad when meeting or hearing about someone who's deadly serious and boring at work being described as not like that away from work. They are much more human and relaxed with friends when they're away from work. The other apparent benefit of work is the social aspect of mixing with other humans, as we are often told that we are social or tribal animals. I would contend that we are all tribal, but to a greater or lesser degree. I can remember my first day at school being asked whether I knew any others in the class. When I answered positively by pointing to a larger child from our road, that our mothers had once organised a play afternoon together. But then the teacher asked whether I'd like to sit next to him, and I swiftly answered, "No, thank you." So I started my education sitting happily in a double desk by myself. So maybe I'm not a very sociable animal after all. Given that the average person will spend a significant proportion of their life at work, the adoption of a different persona would seem to me to be an unnecessary mental strain and not to be recommended. I'm also aware that the working environment is constantly changing and that the recent post-pandemic world is wrestling with WFH, which means working from home, either totally or in hybrid forms. And this is creating new dilemmas for organisations and for individuals. So, what have I learnt about work? To answer this, I need to take myself back through my experiences at work. I know I will enjoy this process and maybe it will also echo to others. Before I do this, I'd like to record what I think are my strongest lessons learnt in my career, in the hope that it may help somebody, even a little bit. The cliche, you work to live, not vice versa, is true for most. A successful career is not a success if it ruins your personal life. Work takes a huge chunk of your time, and you must find enjoyment in at least some of it. If you don't, then you're definitely in an unsuitable job for you, and you need to find something else. Don't fear change. It will happen anyway, and you will gain greater control if you initiate some change yourself. And learn not to feel great anxiety from it. Give everyone a hearing. You will learn something, even from idiots. Be yourself. It's hard to keep up the pretense of being something you are not. It's the road to stress and madness. Doing new stuff, which may be a little scary at first, is better than the boredom of doing the same old stuff. Perfection is an illusion and not usually attainable. Just in time, good enough is achievable. One of the most important realisations for me was about an organisation. An organisation has a character and a culture, but it comprises people. To achieve things and get things done, you have to engage with, influence, persuade, and convince those people about your ideas or a project. I concluded quite early on, and it sounds like a cliche, that people skills are more important than technical skills. So, what happened during my working life? As a child in the 1950s and 60s, work was where my dad went off to every day, apart from weekends and holidays. One of my earliest memories is walking with my mum together with my younger brother in a pushchair to meet my dad from work. Given the distance, at least 2 miles, a walk down from our Swansea home in the suburb of Teacoke, through Singleton Park and probably along some of the beach and promenade until we would wait for my dad on the Strand, which bordered the River Towy. Dad worked in the offices of Unit Superheaters, who manufactured large pipes for use in pressurised boilers, but I knew nothing of this. All I knew was that at a certain time, probably 5 o'clock, the gates would open and what seemed like hundreds of men and a few women would all swarm through and we would try and spot my dad. And we would wave to each other before all going together into town to catch the bus home.